BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at bcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on BCY America. It's going to be a news roundup day here today, and Sandy has been busy all week assembling and preparing stories here for us, and we so appreciate that. We've got Karen ready here at the phones, and Dennis in the control room today, and so thankful that you have joined us as well by way of radio, and those who are brand new listeners to Crosstalk on VCY America, thank you for joining us. We've got a lot of information to pass on to you here today. Even LGBTQ Nation is reporting that the Senate likely now to delay a vote on the so-called Respect for Marriage Act until September. That's according to out Senator Tammy Baldwin of Wisconsin. The Respect for Marriage Act would repeal the Defense of Marriage Act, recognize interracial and same-sex marriages performed by states, and require states to recognize marriages performed in other states. Well, it did pass the House of Representatives very quickly, with all Democrats voting for it and a number of Republicans joining on board. But 10 Republican senators would be needed for the Respect for Marriage Act to pass, and they report that 5 have come out in favor of the bill, and at least 5 others have said that they are leaning toward voting for it, said Tammy Baldwin. And what's interesting is that U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, who is believed to be one of those original 5, now backpedaling, according to LifeSiteNews.com. Also, a story in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel recently also reporting his backpedaling going on his apparent support of this legislation. In my opinion, that is good news, in that this is a legislation that could open the door to federal recognition of polygamy, reports LifeSiteNews.com, now suggesting it would require changes to earn his consideration. Well, H.R. 8404, the so-called Respect for Marriage Act, would repeal the longstanding but unenforced Defense of Marriage Act, federally recognize any marriage lawfully performed by any state, and every state to recognize any marriage of any other state between two individuals. Well, that could be changed to eventually be polygamous as well. They need 10 votes. But there seems to be some letting up with Ron Johnson. And certainly those of you, well, the whole nation actually could be reaching out to Senator Johnson, because his vote would impact every one of the states listening in right now to Crosstalk. He has indicated before he couldn't see why he would not be against that, or that he would not be against this legislation, the Respect for Marriage Act. But now he is backpedaling, and in my opinion, that's good news, and really should backpedal, because of the destruction of traditional values and the destruction of the nuclear family that this would bring about. You can reach out to Senator Ron Johnson. It appears that phone calls are making a difference. 202-224-5323. That's 202-224-5323. Your own senators can be reached at 202-224-3121. Your senators anywhere in the nation. That is a specific one for Ron Johnson, now wavering on this issue. His Oshkosh number, 920-230-7250. And certainly individuals reaching out to him to take a stand for the traditional family. What a slap in the face otherwise. Here we also have 85 national and state organizations have signed a letter written by the Alliance Defending Freedom and sent to U.S. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, denouncing the ironically named Respect for Marriage Act. That's H.R. 8404. H.R. 8404. Urging him and the U.S. Senate colleagues to reject it. Again, the H.R. 8404 would repeal Defense of Marriage, and that a news release I just read from the Illinois Family Institute. From townhall.com, let's see, we have Senator Kyrsten Sinema now of Arizona announced last night that she was on board with the tax increases and increased spending contained in the falsely named Inflation Reduction Act, with some minor edits. Saying we have agreed to remove the carried interest tax provision, protect advanced manufacturing, and boost our clean energy economy in the Senate's budget reconciliation legislation. Sinema said last night, subject to the parliamentarian's review, I'll move forward, she said. Hugh Hewitt tweeted out, astonishing, Senator Sinema could have demanded anything she wanted, anything that spent money or changed taxes, and with the leverage for Arizona, she chose to protect the carry interest exemption for investors, not the A-10s, not the border, not the country, a tax break. He said, wow. Well, coming from Daily Caller, West Virginia Coal Association and several other state coal groups have blasted Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia for sponsoring a bill that will severely threaten the industry. In a statement they released on Wednesday, the leaders of eight state coal trade associations slammed Manchin for joining his party and supporting the purported Inflation Reduction Act that contains provisions that would target the coal industry. According to the statement, Manchin's support for the bill would which was welcomed by President Joe Biden and environmental activists, causing the coal sector to doubt the senator's efforts to protect coal jobs across America. Well, friends, after 5 years of litigation and a unanimous U.S. Supreme Court ruling, the Christian flag flew again, on the Boston City Hall Plaza public forum flagpole as an enthusiastic crowd cheered to celebrate the first day free of unconstitutional viewpoint discrimination. Matt Saver from Liberty Counsel was there. This was his Supreme Court victory. And here is, let me get his statement here for us that he made from Boston.
For 12 years prior to 2017 and for 5 years from 2017 to 2022, up till August 3, this day, 2022, your viewpoint was excluded from this flagpole public forum. Every viewpoint was permissible to go on this public forum flagpole except a Christian viewpoint. You were excluded for 12 years before this issue began. For 12 years, there were 284 applications, not a single denial, virtually no review, and the only reason why Camp Constitution's request to fly this flag was denied was not because of the flag itself. The symbol itself could have flown. It was Hal Shirtless' view of that flag. It was because of one word in the application, the word Christian, that preceded the word flag. He was told by the city official that if he changed the name of the flag to a non-religious name on the application, that flag could have flown in 2017 and we would never be here. Call it the Camp Constitution flag. Call it anything but Christian. But if you use the word Christian in front of the word flag on the application, that is not permissible. Only non-religious viewpoints are permissible. The fact is, they have flown on this flagpole and other flagpoles here. The Bunker Hill flag, which is virtually identical to this, asked why they flew that and not this one. Not because there's difference in symbols. They're the same symbol. It's just a reverse color scheme. It's because the Bunker Hill flag, they thought, was non-religious. And this one could be religious if Hal Shirtless deemed it to be religious, or it could be secular if Hal Shirtless lied and called it the Camp Constitution flag. This is not the Camp Constitution flag. It is the Christian flag. And because of that one word, they censored that viewpoint and that viewpoint only from this public forum flagpole. This victory is even for you to even say you're blaspheming right now. We support your right to freedom of speech. Everyone has a right to freedom of speech. Everyone has a right, no matter how disagreeable or even offensive or discomforting it is, you have a right to be able to speak. If you have a Christian flag and if you have those posters, I encourage you to raise them right now in celebration of this 9-0 victory. To God be the glory. When I argued this case on January 18, I realized that the city was in deep trouble. When Justice Breyer and Justice Kagan asked the city attorney arguing the case, why did you not settle this case? I knew we had a big win. And then on May the 2nd, we got the 9-0 win. It's hard for naysayers to call it anything else but a unanimous, across-the-board victory for freedom of speech. Your viewpoint is now welcome in Boston, the cradle of liberty, the place where John Adams and John Quincy Adams and so many other Christian founders that gave birth to this country, lived in the Commonwealth, and worked here and lived in the city of Boston, the cradle of liberty. Liberty has now finally returned to this public square forum for all people.
We're going to pause right there, but amazing victory. Victory not only for Liberty Council, but a victory for religious freedom across this land. That held this past Wednesday in Boston, the raising of the Christian flag. National Review is reporting the Biden administration declared the current outbreak of monkeypox a public health emergency yesterday after three states had declared the disease an emergency. Department of Health and Human Services made the announcement during a briefing saying, "We are prepared to take our response to the next level," House Secretary Javier Becerra said on a media call. And I ask each American to take monkeypox seriously. The declaration will last 90 days unless Becerra extends it and will increase the HH's ability to secure funds and personnel to deal with the disease. The first case of monkeypox confirmed in the U.S. May 18th. The number of cases has grown to 6,617 probable or confirmed cases, according to CDC's website. California, Illinois both declared states of emergency Monday in a bid to increase vaccination efforts. California currently has 826 cases. Illinois, 547, according to the CDC. New York, 1,666 confirmed cases declared a state of emergency today. Also from the Dallas Morning News, Dallas County Judge Clay Jenkins issued an emergency declaration this morning due to the monkeypox outbreak as cases of the virus top 200. The declaration comes one day after the Biden administration declared monkeypox a federal public health emergency amid a nationwide vaccine shortage. Dallas County represents the largest portion of cases in the state, with 209 confirmed, 29 suspected cases as of yesterday. And a statement from Jenkins said, "We're going to defeat monkeypox through tracing people who've been in contact with a person with monkeypox, testing them, and getting the vaccine now to the most vulnerable population." What's interested, what is this vulnerable population? Well, even the World Health Organization recommends that homosexual active men reduce their sexual activity to stop the spread of monkeypox, called on tech companies to censor opinions they deem harmful. This is from LifeSiteNews.com. Almost 100% of the monkeypox cases have occurred in men, and according to the WHO, at least 95% of those have occurred because of homosexual activity. Rosamond Lewis, the WHO's monkeypox expert, said that men who have had sex with men are the prime spreaders of the virus. WHO chief, Tedros, said that the men who have had this relationships with other men should reduce their partners and exchange contact information in order to contact trace any cases of the disease. Well, we're going to come back right after this break because there's a important statement that Dr. Peter McCullough brings out regarding this, and also what's going on across the country on this. Why are they not shutting down all of these gay orgies and gay pride events that are taking place where this is being spread? Why is that not being shut down like they shut down the nation over COVID? Back in a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, what's the source of natural gas?
Chris, natural gas is a result of a variety of life processes. Even the digestion of your food produces methane gas. Methane gas is also found in volcanic eruptions and in meteorites. So it's evidently a chemical that can form under a variety of conditions. A new theory has been proposed that the huge deposits of methane gas are really the inorganic outgassing of the Earth's interior. These huge pockets of pure methane in many ways don't appear to be life gases with all the impurities that would be there. I lean to such a theory myself. God created this earth for man's good, and methane is a very good part of our existence. It's hard to know for sure, but it wouldn't surprise me from a Back to Genesis perspective.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
Well, as Dr. Elizabeth Lee Vliet told us on last week's Crosstalk program, she was just waiting. She said the president's going to declare this emergency. She was thinking it'd be by July 31. Well, in fact, it was just a couple days after that. But the World Health Organization recommending that homosexual active men reduce their sexual activity to stop the spread of monkeypox. And Dr. Peter McCullough tweeted a summary of research published in the New England Journal of Medicine that tallied the cases of monkeypox at almost 100% having occurred in homosexual activity. Almost 100%. Thornhill et al., the New England Journal of Medicine monkeypox summary, says that 98% is due to gay and bisexual, 41% have concurrent HIV, 95% transmission by sexual activity. Now, Tedros Ghebreyesus expressed concern that there would be disinformation about monkeypox and could spread online, so he called for a global censorship by tech companies and social media giants. He doesn't want what he calls misinformation. He doesn't want this whole stigmatizing of this to take place. And we're going to play a clip in just a moment, but folks, this just happened on Fox News here recently. This Fox News panel, they had a guest suggesting that men should stay away from gay orgies if they don't want to get monkeypox. And I tell you, the panel, the host, Kennedy Montgomery, slammed the American Majority CEO, Ned Ryan, as a bigot for daring to point out that more than 9 out of 10 cases of monkeypox are contracted by men having these sexual relationships with other men. They don't want that stigma there. Here is Tedros Ghebreyesus.
The stigma and discrimination can be as dangerous as any virus and can fuel the outbreak. As we have seen with COVID-19, misinformation and disinformation can spread rapidly online. So we call on all social media platforms, tech companies, and news organizations to work with us to prevent and counter harmful information.
Harmful information. No, we don't want this stigma to be out there. Friends, why in the world are they not shutting things down? I mean, I saw a story on Breitbart that San Francisco just held a kink and fetish fest last Sunday, despite the spread of monkeypox. Organizers, we're taking precautions. We're putting booths 10 feet apart. We're requiring vaccination cards for COVID and monkeypox to enter the venues. Why are they not shutting down all of these homosexual orgy places to stop monkeypox from taking place, like they did for COVID, shutting down your church because of COVID, the COVID spread? No, we've got to stop. No, we can kill babies in abortion. Abortion centers are necessary. Your church is not. Yes, we don't want to stigmatizing, so we don't want to say this is being spread among LGBT populations, and we don't want to stop their activities from taking place. No, that's stigmatizing this. And we need to stop all media that starts talking about these things. Don't want that stigmatizing. Don't want this misinformation getting out there. Folks, do you see the double standard that's taking place? They're not about health. These are platforms that they have to promote their cause. CBN News and their narrative, I should say. CBN News is reporting President Joe Biden announced Monday that Al-Qaeda leader Ayman al-Zawahiri killed in the U.S. drone strike in Kabul, an operation he said delivered justice and hopefully one more measure of closure to families of the victims of 9/11. The president said in an evening address from the White House that U.S. intelligence officials tracked him to a home in downtown Kabul where he was hiding out with his family. Biden said he'll never, never, never again allow Afghanistan to become a terrorist safe haven because he is gone and we're going to make sure that nothing else happens. It's outrageous, folks. We've left all our weaponry behind there. We put American lives in jeopardy. Christian persecution increasing. And how is it that he was in Afghanistan to begin with? Was our mission complete there? What do you think about that exit that we had from Afghanistan? American Military News reporting that the U.S. State Department issued a new terrorist attack warning on Tuesday, urging Americans to take worldwide caution when traveling due to a heightened risk of terrorist attacks and anti-American violence in the wake of the death of al-Zawahiri. That's coming from American Military News. Washington Free Beacon reporting Iran's illegal oil trade has boomed under the Biden administration, with the hardline regime selling more than $44 billion worth of its heavily sanctioned oil to malign regimes like China, Syria, and Venezuela, according to figures published by a watchdog group united against a nuclear Iran. This drastic increase in revenue is not surprising when you look at the increase in oil exports that have occurred under the Biden administration. The UANI Chief of Staff Claire Youngman told the Washington Free Beacon, this is a result of terminally lax sanctions enforcement. In addition to looser sanctions on Iran, the Biden administration has turned a blind eye to enforcement as it seeks to ink a revamped version of the 2015 nuclear deal. China made a mockery of the credibility of our sanctions programs and emboldened rogue actors across the world to follow suit, said Gabriel Noronha, a State Department special advisor for Iran during the Trump administration. As Iran and China boost their oil alliance, the U.S. emergency crude stockpiles drop to their lowest level in 37 years. Newsmax is reporting that social media video posts from an Iran Revolutionary Guard Corps have translated the threat to produce atomic warheads from missiles in a short amount of time if the U.S. or the Zionist regime makes any stupid mistakes, with the capability of turning, and I quote, turning New York into hellish ruins. The Jerusalem Post had reported on Sunday. The video was directly translated to vow to make Iran's peaceful nuclear program, to a nuclear weapons program at an accelerated rate. Folks, that's something we knew all along, but it's been denied by the Obama administration, now the Biden administration. From CNSNews.com, the Islamic Education Center in Houston, Texas, you listening? Recently posted a video on YouTube of their children in this community, ages 4 to 14, singing the song Salam from Maldi, Hello Commander, which includes lyrics where the kids make an oath to Sayyid Ali and sing I'll Be Your Martyr. The Sayyid Ali Husani Kamani is the supreme leader of Iran, a Shia Muslim. We should say Khomeini. They sing, don't look at my young age, I will be your soldier, I make an oath, one day when you need me, I will be your martyr. Houston, Texas. The Daily Caller reporting the Biden administration approved the sale of Patriot missiles and support equipment to Saudi Arabia Tuesday, overriding prior campaign pledges to end arms transfers to what he called the pariah country over human rights issues. The announcement came just before Saudi committed to a relatively small increase in oil production at the OPEC Plus meeting that was held Wednesday. Let's go to a National Review. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi touted America's ironclad commitment to the security of Taiwan as she departed the island on Wednesday after meeting with the Taiwanese president. The visit inflamed tensions with China, which claims Taiwan is part of its territory. China views trips by foreign government officials to Taiwan as an acknowledgement of the island's sovereignty and has warned that the trip will have an egregious political impact. Pelosi's trip makes her the highest-ranking American official to visit Taiwan in 25 years. A spokesman for the Chinese Foreign Ministry told reporters Wednesday that the U.S. and Taiwan can expect consequences for the visit. Fox News reporting that China claimed its military successfully executed precision missile strikes in the Taiwan Strait Thursday. This is a day after Pelosi visited the island. Also from the AP, China on Friday said it's canceling or suspending dialogue with the U.S. on a range of issues from climate change to military relations and anti-drug efforts in retaliation for Pelosi's visit. Very interesting matters going on there. From townhall.com, Senator Tommy Tuberville and Senator Tom Cotton introduced a bill that would prevent members of the Chinese Communist Party from buying land in the U.S. Securing America's Land from Foreign Interference Act is in response to a 2020 report by the U.S. Department of Agriculture suggesting that foreign persons held an interest in nearly 37.6 million acres of U.S. agricultural land. Did you know that, folks? Foreign persons, this is a 2020 report, and there's been much more sales since that time, foreign persons held an interest in nearly 37.6 million acres of U.S. agriculture land. Approximately 14 states have some level of foreign ownership restriction, yet there are no federal restrictions on the amount of private U.S. agricultural land that can be owned, according to the report. Coming from CBN News, control of the food supply is a critical national security issue. In South Dakota, where farming and cattle are key to the backbone of the state's economy, the issue is taking center stage, especially with cattle ranchers. There's about 5 head of cattle for every person in South Dakota, which is a lot of beef. But cattle ranchers say the problem isn't getting the meat to your plate. It's that the meat packers are taking most of the profits. There's 4 beef packers that control 85% of all the slaughter in the U.S., said Les Shaw, a fourth-generation cattle rancher in White Owl, South Dakota. These 4 beef packers are recording profits of anywhere from $1,200 to as high as $2,000 a head during the pandemic, whereas the rancher is at the break-even or even a loss, he said. The 4 major meat packers are Tyson Foods, Cargill, and 2 Brazilian-owned corporations, National Beef Packing and JBS. In 1977, the Big Four, as they're commonly called, owned just 25% of the market. But today, that's exploded to 85% of all meat packing in America. Cattle ranchers used to receive 62 cents for every consumer dollar spent on beef. Today, that's dropped to less than 37 cents on the dollar, while the Big Four have tripled profits in the past 2 years alone. Now, we have the Biden administration going after big oil, don't we? Saying you got to lower your prices, got to lower your prices, you got to, and the gas stations are gouging. Don't you think it's about time that the Biden administration look at these 4 major meatpackers in the U.S.? The Daily Caller reporting that an out-of-stock rates for baby formula, they still remain sky high. You're not seeing this in the media across the nation, but they're sky high despite decreased media attention on the crisis in the recent months, market data shows. The national formula out-of-stock level for the week ending July 24th was 30%, according to data released July 29th and shared with the Daily Mail. That's a slight increase from 2 weeks before when out-of-stock rates were 28.3%. It's getting worse. Wyoming and Arizona are being hit hardest. The out-of-stock rates in these states are 42 and 44% respectively, the Daily Mail reported. Media coverage of the crisis has waned since the spring and early summer when the shortage dominated headlines, but the situation is just as bad now as it was in May and June. From SRN News, the first ship to carry Ukrainian grain through the Black Sea since Russia invaded Ukraine 5 months ago left the port of Odessa for Lebanon on Monday under a safe passage deal described as a glimmer of hope in a worsening global food crisis. This is carrying some 26,527 tons of corn. Let's see. Warnings have been persistently circulated about the destructive agenda of the World Economic Forum and the Great Reset. Well, plans are also including a cashless society in a world becoming dominated by big government featuring less freedom and personal autonomy. Irish banks are prioritizing caving to the will of big government over service to customers and are using sneaky tactics to drive the public toward a cashless society just like China. I'm going to continue with this article from Jihad Watch after the break just to see some of the steps that Ireland is taking at this time. Back in a minute. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
Marital conflict is increasing. The commitment to love and to cherish is being thrown away in many relationships. Marriage has been shunned by some and distorted from God's original design by others. The film Amazing Love is a feature-length film depicting a true commitment in marriage. It is the story of a youth director and his wife who take 5 teens from their youth group to the wilderness for a 2-night campout. 2 teen girls then have a sharp argument that causes division. Tensions are high. The youth leader gathers the teens and tells the account of Hosea. Using flashback, the film takes you to Nazareth as the story of Hosea unfolds. The story of commitment, of cherishing vows, of faithfulness and unconditional love. The DVD, Amazing Love, is available for a donation of $12 to VCY America. Call 1-800-729-9829.
It's the News Roundup Day here on Crosstalk, coming your way from the VCY American Network. I've got a ton to get into this next segment here. We're talking about Ireland and embracing really the Great Reset, reports Jihad Watch, using sneaky tactics to push a cashless society. Well, the Irish Independent reports that the Financial Services Union claims that banks were engaging in a deliberate policy of moving people away from cash payments and brick-and-mortar banking. As examples, banks are accused of not answering phones, understaffing branches so there are long queues, and failing to quickly repair broken ATMs as a way of pushing people to do their banking online. The FSU also accused banks of using COVID-19 as an excuse by Irish financial institutions to reduce services and hours. Sound familiar, ladies and gentlemen? Well, the publication in Irish Tech News published the lie that COVID-19 accelerated a public favor toward a cashless society. It's very different to have a preference for digital transactions than to support a cashless society. Another report near the end of July highlights just how opposed the public is to a cashless society. Allied Irish banks shelved plans to drop cash services in 70 of its 170 branches after a major political backlash against the decision over its likely impact on small businesses and rural communities. I mean, that was the plan. No cash whatsoever. It's 70 of its branches. Amazing, friends, to push us and propel us toward a cashless society. Well, pushback has changed that. And sometimes you wonder, will my voice make a difference? Does my phone call make a difference? When I voice objection to the president of a company, does it make a difference? Yes, it does. And you may even not find it by yourself, but when it's collected together with others, it makes a huge difference. LifeNews.com reporting Joe Biden has signed an executive order will sign one soon, forcing Americans to fund abortion travel that results in killing more babies in abortion. The order will allow the Department of Health and Human Services to explore using tax dollars from Medicaid to pay expenses for those who cross state lines to receive an abortion. One pro-life group contends that Biden's order violates the Hyde Amendment. Let's see. LifeNews.com. Kansas voters rejected a pro-life amendment Tuesday night that confirms there is no right to kill abortions and babies in abortion in the state constitution. The amendment is vitally important because it allows the state legislature to pass pro-life laws, including an abortion ban that would protect the lives of the unborn. This was the Value Them Both amendment. It failed 58-41%, and the pro-life amendment would have added language to the Kansas Constitution stating that there is no right to an abortion or taxpayer-funded abortion. LifeNews.com also reporting Senators Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski are the two lone pro-abortion Republicans in the Senate, introduced legislation Tuesday to force states to legalize abortion up to birth nationwide. LifeNews also reporting the Buffalo, New York Pregnancy Center that radical abortion activists firebombed in June reopened this week to help pregnant women and save babies from abortions. I just read how it was just, what was it, 48 hours it took officials or FBI to find somebody who had done vandalism against the Planned Parenthood. But still, all of these many pro-life centers across the country that have been firebombed or vandalized, not one person held accountable yet. LifeNews.com reports the state of Georgia taking yet another step to make it clear that unborn babies are human beings worth legal protection. The state is acknowledging their worth and existence by allowing Georgia residents to claim unborn children as dependents on their state taxes. Daily Caller telling us President Joe Biden's Department of Justice suing Idaho over their state abortion law. It's amazing, folks. To what lengths will we go to continue the barbarism of killing unborn babies in the womb? That is really the mindset of this Biden administration, as now their Department of Justice he's been told them sick 'em on the state of Idaho over their laws pertaining to abortion. Let's see, Christian Post telling us an annual report detailing Minnesota's abortion data reveals that 5 babies were born alive after the procedure. No efforts made to save their lives. Did you know about what's going on in Poland? 90% of abortions plummeted because they passed a law saying you cannot kill an unborn child because of a suspected birth defect. 90% reduction in abortion. According to the data, 1,076 abortions carried out in Poland in 2020 compared to just 107 in 2021. Australia, religious leaders for religious freedom for pro-life medical workers increasingly has become a target of abortion activists. LifeNews.com reports that in Australia, lawmakers in the state of Victoria considering legislation that would force Christian hospitals to kill patients through abortion and assisted suicide in order to continue to receive taxpayer funding. Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida has suspended a Soros-backed state attorney who refused to enforce the abortion ban. He made the announcement during a press conference this week. On social media, he argued that Warren has repeatedly refused to enforce state laws passed by the legislature, cracking down on child sex change surgeries and abortion restrictions. This is State Attorney Andrew Warren, saying we are suspending Soros-backed 13th Circuit State Attorney Andrew Warren for neglecting his duties as he pledges not to uphold the laws of the state. Good job, Governor DeSantis, and I wonder if other governors will have the backbone to do the same thing. Not only that, but also we have Governor DeSantis has called for lawsuits against doctors who perform gender transition surgeries on gender-confused children. Here is what he had to say.
Talk about these very young kids getting gender-affirming care. They don't tell you what that is they're actually giving very young girls double mastectomies. They want to castrate these young boys. That's wrong. And so we stood up and said, both from the health and children well-being perspective, you know, you don't disfigure 10, 12, 13-year-old kids based on gender dysphoria. 80% of it resolves anyways by the time they get older. So why would you be doing this? I think these doctors need to get sued for what's happening. I'm sorry.
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis from Breitbart, a leftist organization called the Queer Mathematics Teacher. Well, they're seeking to embed gender theory in K-12 math classes. Brandy Wade, the director of the Queer Mathematics Teacher, laid out a plan for incorporating gender theory into math classes in a blog post on the, this would be the Castle website, sponsored by the Allstate Foundation. The Queer Mathematics Teacher, an educational consulting firm that seeks to promote queer mathematics in American K-12 classrooms. They sell a book talking about LGBTQ plus identity that includes chapters like The Gender Unicorn, How Do I Talk About LGBTQ plus Identity with My Students, and What If I Receive Pushback. But this consulting firm seeking to promote queer mathematics K through 12 schools. Breitbart reporting the Southern Poverty Law Center Project Learning for Justice promoted an explicit sex education book for elementary school students and a guide to teachers. Titled Best Practices for Serving LGBTQ Students. It discusses pronouns, sex education, policies surrounding cross-sex access to sports, bathrooms, etc. Hats off to a Wisconsin school district's decision to bar employees from displaying gay pride flags in classrooms or from putting their preferred pronouns in email signatures, prompting pushback from students, alumni, and others. The superintendent said, we're just reaffirming a policy already in place, reports the Associated Press through American Family News. Keller Moraine School District Superintendent Stephen Plum told the school board the district's interpretation of a policy that prohibits staff from using their positions to promote partisan politics, religious views, and propaganda for personal, monetary, or non-monetary gain changed following a legal analysis of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reported. The Daily Citizen reporting one of the recurring marketing schemes of the LGBT agenda involves pro sports teams wearing pride-themed insignia or clothing at least once a year. And for Christians who earned their living playing such sports but won't compromise their Christian witness, Pride Night at the ballpark or stadium can result in tough choices and a career fallout. Just ask this would be Jalene Daniels, a 29-year-old professional women's soccer player with the North Carolina Courage of the nation's women's soccer league. She was benched by her club for their July 29th match against the Washington Spirit. Why? For refusing to wear the rainbow-themed pre-match and warm-up tops in honor of so-called Pride Night. National Review telling us that Drag Queen Story Hour in New York City, a program funded with over $200,000 taxpayer money, has drag performances prompt children as young as 3 years old to pick out their drag names and to circle their pronouns. One lawmaker decided to stand up against the Drag Queen Hour, receiving threats so severe she had to have police deployed to guard her office and her home. The Epoch Times reporting that a bill that would make California a sanctuary state for transgender youth and their parents fleeing states where laws prohibit gender-affirming health care for minors continues to move through the legislature despite strong criticism from their opponents. Senate Bill 107 passed the Assembly Appropriations Committee August 3rd with an 11-4 party line vote. Oklahoma public schools will require student athletes to sign a biological sex affidavit. Student athletes competing on Oklahoma public school sports teams must now complete a biological sex affidavit to determine whether or not they're eligible. The requirement comes after Oklahoma Governor Kevin Stitt signed the Save Women's Sports Act into law last March, designates sports teams to be based on athletes' biological sex. Okay, another topic from townhall.com, schools in D.C. requiring all students age 12 and older to get the COVID-19 vaccine before returning to the classroom this fall. Students who don't get it will not be allowed back in the classroom and could face expulsion. Students can get exemptions if a parent or guardian provides written evidence receiving a vaccine would violate their religious belief or if a physician certifies in writing that it's unsafe for the student to get the shot. Dr. Peter McCullough, Dallas-based internist, cardiologist, and epidemiologist. He's authored 54 peer-reviewed publications on COVID-19. He's testified before the Senate. He said in an interview this week he has received notice of potential disciplinary action from the American Board of Internal Medicine because of his stance on COVID-19 response. The Epoch Times reporting the most recent VAERS, that's Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System data, shows that a 9-year-old died in California 2 weeks after getting one dose of the Pfizer-BioNTech jab. The female child had no listed pre-existing conditions, was not hospitalized. She experienced 2 to 3 days of stomach aches, sore throat, chest pain 2 weeks after receiving the vaccine. United States VAERS data shows there were 12,232 adverse effects in 5 to 11-year-olds, including 313 serious cases and 9 deaths. In addition, the database lists 24 cases of heart inflammation, 47 cases of blood clotting disorders, and 101 reports of seizures in the same age group, reports the Epoch Times. And a state judge in Wisconsin has ruled that the Department of Corrections broke the law when it decided to give lawyers and bureaucrats and even reporters and dog trainers access to inmates during COVID, but refused to provide any procedure for clergy to visit. This is a story from WND.com. Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty cited the summary judgment from Jefferson County Circuit Judge William Hugh that found state officials violated the law and Wisconsin Constitution with those restrictions. Isn't that something? Reporters can get in, bureaucrats can get in, lawyers, dog trainers, access to inmates, but clergy, you may not have access. Well, friends, there's much taking place in the news here today. I've got more even pertaining to elections and so forth, but let's open some phone lines. If you'd like to comment on these or other current public affairs or public event news issues, our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. We'll be right back.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brennan House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Well, since the early 90s, I and many others like Tom DeWeese have been warning about Agenda 21, also known now as Agenda 2030. Well, here's a new phrase you need to learn, 30 by 30. The Biden regime, in connection with the Department of Agriculture, the Interior Department, and global entities, are working here in America and around the world to take the farmland from farmers. Right now in the Netherlands, we're seeing big riots by, and rightfully so, the farmers. The government's trying to tell them they have to cut their herds by 50% to protect some kind of clover. Here in America, the 30 by 30 land grab is just that. The federal government wants to take 30% of our land and waterways by 2030. 30% of our land gone, can't be used. The end of private property by 2030. Wake up, Americans.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. It's been a news roundup day today. By the way, the U.S. Postal Service confirming it's created a division that will oversee mail-in ballots in future elections. A new division, the Election and Government Mail Services. And in a closely watched lake, it appears Carrie Lake, a former news anchor who walked away from her journalism career, embraced by Donald Trump and his staunch supporters. AP News reporting she won the Republican primary for Arizona governor, that being reported yesterday. Let's go to phone lines here today. We're going to begin with Gary calling in from Racine, Wisconsin. Hi, Gary. You're on the air.
Yes, hi. I'm calling to want to know how whoever started this virus, and we all have seen the news, how they felt when they noticed that God had left four or five different therapeutics that would have helped us out. So not only the adverse effects, but also by them making the therapeutics being taken away and not having access to them,
yeah,
that multiplies the effect.
Yeah.
Ten times fold.
Yeah. Thank you, Gary. Holly in Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Hey, Jim. I just wanted to ask your listeners to pray for our brothers and sisters in Africa and specifically Uganda. They are facing massive persecution right now simply for going out and spreading the gospel. Their government's full of voodoo, and obviously the Islamists are creeping in as well. And so I just ask your listeners, please urgently pray for our brothers and sisters in Africa.
Great. God bless you, Holly. Thank you for bringing that forward. Jim is next. Jim, you're on the air.
Hey there. After listening to one of your shows about Matthew Staver saying the government is using this to eliminate Christians out of the military, I've noticed three of my friends we all have kids 18, 20, 22 years old that were looking to get into the military. And it seems three specific ones in the last 2 weeks that I've heard about, they have not been able, even though they're very, very good students, have not been able to enlist in the military. They've been rejected for little things like food, for something wrong with allergies. They come up with some very, very, I think, very, very poor judgments for why they will not allow these kids to enroll. And I think that Matthew Staver was right about that they're using this for specifically Christian people and stopping them from being part of the military.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jim, for your thoughts on that. We do know that recruitment is their number. We're losing thousands of the military, and there are those who with religious convictions and those who are just said, I'm not going to be subjected to this CRT training. I'm not going to be subjected to this gender training and gender ideology training and learn how to use gender pronouns. I'm not going to do that. And the military is very obsessed with all of that kind of instruction going on at this time. Don is our next caller. Don, you're on the air.
Yes, I want to talk about Ron Johnson and the RMA. I think it's obvious that Ron Johnson has no idea what the Bible says, or if he does know, he doesn't care. And I encourage everybody to call him and let him know.
Yeah, I mean, that's
a big mistake.
Yeah, there has not been it looks like the vote's going to be delayed now, and so there's certainly time. But it appears, at least what the news media is reporting, that he's backpedaling on his earlier statements being made, and so those calls are very critical to his office.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you for the call. Our number is 800-733-9829. Mary in Kansas, you're on the air.
Yes, I'm calling to say a few words about the vote abortion vote here in Kansas, first
yes.
of all.
Mm-hmm.
There were misleading ads by the left who claimed that no abortions whatsoever would be allowed, including ectopic pregnancies
mm-hmm.
or something like this.
Yep.
Anyway, the ads were totally misleading. Secondly, I heard once it was 69%, another time 71% of the money supporting the pro-abortion side came from out of state. And third, it was very poorly worded on the ballot itself to the place you couldn't figure out what it meant. But the big thing was people were misled by the radio advertisements
mm-hmm.
that were given.
You see, thank you for the call. And that's how evil triumphs, is through lies and deceit. That's how evil triumphs. And that's how it is spread. It is through lies and deceit. And you know who the father of lies is, don't you? Yeah, the devil being the father of lies. Let's see, we've got Willie as our next caller. Willie, you're on the air. Hello, Willie.
Willie.
Go ahead, Willie.
Hello, Jim. I really thank you guys for encouraging me to call Ron Johnson.
Yeah.
And I did call him, and I called his corporate number, and then I called his local number, and I got a hold of one of his secretaries, and I pleaded with her to let him know that I didn't want him to go the way of Balaam. And I stressed Balaam, and he knows the Lord. And as long as he got that message, I'm pretty sure
it's
mine. So I thank you for encouraging us to call our senators and have a blessed day, and may the Lord bless America.
Thank you, Willie, for your call. And our final call, Jim, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, I want a red alert for people to make a stink now about them declaring a national health emergency with this monkeypox and maybe used again to manipulate our vote coming up in November.
Yeah, that's a concern. It really is a concern because it gives all new emergency powers and levels of engagement there. Thank you, Jim, for raising that issue.
Thank you.
Troubling times, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, again, Ron Johnson's number 202-224-5323 really does need to hear from the American people. Wow, there's the closing music. I've got so much more stories here, but friends, be in prayer for this nation. We talk about these issues, and we need to make the phone calls, but friends, we need to make another call, and it's found in Jeremiah 33, verse 3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Let's talk to the God of this universe. And by the way, keep in mind that it's Friday today. The Lord's Day is coming. I trust you'll be in a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching local church. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.